Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who are watching this through GCN, YouTube, or any other news media. The title of this message is Be Steadfast and Immovable. I hope you can receive grace in the works of the Holy Spirit. Children who are growing may have some chaotic situations when they don't know about their identity or a view of value. Sometimes, you know, they live a life in vain. They live a lifetime in vain. However, their life changes once they have the better understanding about their identity and the view of value. And they came to have the pride. And if they have their goal of their lives, then, you know, they make an effort to achieve it. And they are not affected by their surroundings. I told you about the identity and view of value and pride. And as I explain about this, you know, identity and the view of value or values or pride, you may have, you know, understanding of those words. And the Christians also have different identity and values and pride. If we understand, please have the understanding of these three words and listen to this message. If we understand where we are from and what we're living and where we're going, our life can be different. We can understand that we are in the process. We are in the providence of Father God's, the providence called human cultivation by God the Triune. And then we can put value in it. We may have pride of being in part of the providence. Then we are not forced to live as a Christian, but we eagerly live a Christian life once we know our identity. And when, as we receive grace, we may not be affected by our surroundings. And we will be faithful to our given duties. And we will give out the fragrance of Jesus Christ, and we will shine out even under providence and even under the persecutions and trials. As we understand the heart of Father God, we may give thanks and we will rejoice. The great example of this is Apostle Paul. In his life, the fragrance of Jesus Christ can be found in his life, in his ministry, in his letters. Once he knew that there was a problem in the church in Corinth that he himself set up, he planted hope for resurrection, as we, you know, explains and solves the problem, that spiritual problem that they had in church in Corinth. As you read the Corinthians 1 and 2, you can see how well Apostle Paul was in solving those spiritual problems. And he also planted hope for resurrection into the hearts of congregation. And he advised them not to be swayed in any given situation, but work more fervently for the work of the Lord. He was, you know, confident to say that because he was living a such a life, and he had hope for resurrection in heaven. Paul was, you know, Orthodox Jewish. He didn't know about Jesus Christ. When he didn't know about Jesus Christ, he persecuted those in the Christians. But he met the Lord on his way to Damascus, and he realized Jesus, who died on the cross, was the Messiah, the Savior. Then he realized why Lord met him. like in the ring sector of the those in the people. And what, and he realized what kind of grace he received. And that made his life changed. Once he received his grace, he never changed in his ministry. The grace that he received from Jesus Christ and Father God was engraved deep in his heart. I believe the grace you received from Jesus Christ and Father God must be engraved in your heart too, right? You met Mom in church and senior pastor, and you learned the spiritual, you know, messages, which, you know, help you understand your identity and help you set your goal. And the grace, the words of life are getting even bigger and bigger in your heart, right? Brothers and sisters, do you remember the sermons about the seed of life? When senior pastor delivered the message about the seed of life, we felt like we were digging and recovering hidden jewels. The 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 talks about the seed of God. But we didn't know about this, what it means. However, once we learned the seed of life message, we came to know our identity, and it increased our value. As we learned the message of the cross, we understood our identity. And once we, you know, learned about this seed of life, we came to know ourselves better. Actually, senior pastor was supposed to deliver this message a fall later in the lecture on Genesis. However, to help us understand ourselves better, he delivered this message in the beginning of the lecture on Genesis. So let's go back and review that message. If you want to know more about a seed of life that it was delivered by senior pastor, refer to Genesis lecture number 29. 30 and 31. Genesis 2:7 says, "The Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." God created man from dust, from the ground. The original light came out from his finger, and as he molded the dust from the ground, it became a human body. It became the perfect man's head, torso, arms, and legs. Once the man has the perfect body, God breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils. Then the man became a living being. As his heart started to, you know, pump out the blood throughout his body, the brain started to work. So he could move out his hands and feet. He could see and hear and speak. The breath of life went into the cell, which is the most centered cell in his body. And the body became the spiritual being that never dies. And this breath of life was conveyed to all his Adam's descendants automatically. However, when Adam and Eve committed sin and the breath of life was taken by God, as they were driven out to this earth, only a trace of breath of life was left. It was called this trace, little trace of breath of life is called seed of life. And it remains in the cell, which is the most central part of the body. In the Garden of Eden, the seed of life was conveyed to descendants automatically. However, on this earth, the seed of life cannot be conveyed automatically. Therefore, when a man is conceived, at the sixth month of pregnancy, God gives the baby the spirit, and inside the spirit, there is a seed of life, and it is planted in a cell. Thanks to this seed of life, not only Adam and Eve, but all human beings could look for God. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He also set eternity in their heart." So, people automatically look for God thanks to this seed of life. Men can, even if it is vague, can feel that there is eternal life, and they look for God. This seed of life should bud out to own the eternal life. When this seed of life does not blossom, it cannot own the heaven. Making the seed of life spring up means being reborn by the Holy Spirit. To be born by the Holy Spirit again, the man must accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, forgiven of sin, and receive the Holy Spirit. That is to be born again by the Holy Spirit. Once the seed of life, you know, blossom, it should make the flower bloom and make fruit. Just like the law of the nature, the seed of life should grow up and reach the complete measure. Especially, people should not commit sin to make the seed of life die again. Therefore, the better the heart is, the better the situation and environment for the seed of life to grow up. Because the seed of life is originally spirit, goodness, truth, and life. When people have good heart, it is easier for them to accept Jesus Christ as a Savior because the providence of Jesus' death on the cross, crucifixion itself, is the outcome of goodness and love. John 3:6 says, "That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit." It means we have to eat the word of life. That can help our seed of life grow up. We have to provide spiritual water and light for our spirit to grow up, which is the words of goodness, love, and truth. The seed of life is located in the center of our heart, which is our heart. And this seed of life is like a buoy on the ocean. The buoy is to show the direction to the ships or as a warning sign for the any danger thing of the sea. Even if there is in the big waves, the buoy stays where it is connected to the ground of the bottom of the ocean. So therefore, even the cells that where the seed of life is located may, you know, change and die, and the seed of life is always there like a buoy, and it controls entire cells of the body. By the same token, when the grace that you receive is well located in the center of your heart, then you will not be swayed back and forth, no matter what happens to you. We were given the seed of life from Father God. Therefore, we will not be decayed. When animals die, you know, they disappear. And they can disappear, right? The man cannot. Since we have the seed of life, we have great longing heart for heaven. And as we look for God, we can find God and we can have eternal life. However, when people look for something else other than God, you know, they may not own the eternal life. So, as this seed of life grows up and as your heart is full of the Holy Spirit, your heart, every cell, every part of your body is controlled by the seed of life, so you can live a healthier life, even if you have infirmities, you know. Once you receive this fullness of the Holy Spirit, the cell will be healthier, and you can have your young youth back, okay? And through the handkerchief on the prayer, through the handkerchief, you know, the power contained in the handkerchief can work on your cells so that you can be healed and you can be healthy. So, we received grace from Father God. And that grace is located and as the seed of life centered. And as it remains as the grace, then the seed of life will continually grow up spiritually. Brothers and sisters, I told you about Apostle Paul in the beginning of this message. On his way to Damascus, he met the Lord, and the grace and gospel was well established in his heart. Do you love Apostle Paul? Well, I do love Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was the apostle who made the greatest influence over all Christians. Many books of the New Testament are written by the hand of the Apostle Paul, right? I love Apostle Paul. Well, I think it was around year 2000. There was an event, and I played the role of Apostle Paul. The reason I played the role of Apostle Paul was that, you know, I kind of looked like an Apostle Paul. You know, I didn't lose much hair back then. So I played the role of Apostle Paul because people thought, you know, my outlook was looked like an Apostle Paul. So anyway, after that, I lost my hair. So Father, please let me have more hair. I pray like that. But anyway, well, because thanks to Apostle Paul, you know, thanks for the acting role, I was kind of comforted because, you know, if we think of Apostle Paul and his ministry, we can overcome any kind of persecutions, right? So, let me introduce Apostle Paul. Philippians 1:8 says, "For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." It means his ministry is only for Jesus Christ. As a Jewish, his view of value was not perfect. But thanks to Jesus Christ, after he met the Lord, he found his identity and he found his values. Now, as he have these values and he found his pride, just like a buoy, just like the seed of life, no matter what happens, it stays where it is. The grace of Jesus Christ that he received was steadfast and immovable. Acts 20:24 says, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." Romans 1:9 says, "For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you." Philippians chapter 1 verse 12 says, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel." Thanks to the grace of Jesus Christ, his life made a great twist. Now, he became the preacher of the gospel, and he is putting value to that kind of life. And this kind of his passion made him build so many churches and evangelize so many souls. And just like he confessed as in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. And Titus chapter 1 verse 1 says, he calls himself as a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. In any given situation, the gospel of Jesus Christ that he had worked very active in his heart, making him very passionate in his ministry, and made him harbor lots of fruits. And these fruits became the goal for many descending Christians. Since we have this grace of the Lord, we grew up spiritually every day, right? Just like in Apostle Paul. That's the ultimate goal of human cultivation, is done by our Father God. In the works of the Holy Spirit, you know, we are managing our Christian lives. How blessed we are. Brothers and sisters, well, I want to ask you a question. Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, one day, he says, "It is my gospel." Now, how would you react? Apostle Paul said, "I am preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ by the grace of the Lord." And how he changed, he explained. He was just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, one day he said, "I'm preaching my gospel." Now, how would you react? You may say like this, "Apostle Paul did that? No way. He must have said he was preaching gospel of Jesus Christ. He said he was preaching the gospel of God, gospel of Jesus Christ. But now he is preaching his gospel? He gotta live the Lord only. I think something wrong with him." However, you may act like this. This is example two. He must have some kind of reason. Well, I would like to ask him why he did that. Or I may be inspired in my prayer. However, you may act like this. Really? Even if he says he was preaching his gospel, I don't think it's a wrong expression. The gospel he preached was only for Jesus Christ. He even said, you know, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." Right? God acknowledged him so that he could manifest the power of God. Even when people used the apron or handkerchief that he touched, people were healed. Many people regarded him like a god. So many people received grace from his message. Some people, you know, served him like, you know, they served God or they served the Lord. There were people, they were, you know, who called themselves that they were the sons of Apostle Paul. There were so many Christians thanks to ministry of Apostle Paul. So many churches were established. It could not have been done like that if it were not for the work of God. The gospel that Apostle Paul was only Jesus Christ. So he may have said, you know, it's his gospel, so it's not wrong expression. Well, this is the third example, right? Now, did he really say he was preaching his gospel? Yes, he did. Romans 16:25 says, "My gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ." My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And 2 Timothy 2:8 says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel." 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1 says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." It was possible for him to say so. Why? Because Jesus Christ was the only one in his heart. And the evidence was the power of God that he manifested. That's why he was able to say, "My gospel." And he said, "Be imitators of me." And congregation of Timothy didn't misunderstand him. Now, what about our senior pastor and mom in church? We only consider Jesus Christ as our Savior. We received great grace from Father God, and we witnessed the works of the Holy Spirit. However, some people may have a little bit short of in the spiritual understanding. Our senior pastor loves Father God and the Lord foremost of all. He has taught us to do like so, to do like that, and to love our souls. And we are sorry not to be like him. We want to be like him, right? Apostle Paul was also envied by many other people, and he heard so many rumors about him. Acts 24:5 says, he was called a real pest and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. However, he made this confession after he heard so. In verse 14 and 15, but I admit to you that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. And he also made this confession in Acts 26:29. I would wish to God that whether in a short or a long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day, might become such as I am, except for these chains. Why should we be swayed? We are busy remembering the grace that we have received. Why do we have to look for and listen to some rumors and lose our grace? Proverbs 11:27 says, he who diligently seeks good seeks favor, but he who seeks evil, evil will come to him. If we remember the grace that we have received, then we gotta protect our dignity and integrity that will never shaken in the truth in any given situation. Otherwise, we make all our works, you know, vain. Think of King Ahab. Think of Rahab. He received the grace of God. And thanks to the grace of God, not only she, but also her entire household was, you know, saved. No, Rahab, you know, was a betrayer. She hid in the spies from the Jewish people. Well, there are some people, even though Rahab was, you know, saved by, you know, God's grace, you know, there are people who think about the wrong things of Rahab. Like, you know, she was, you know, betraying. They were saying that she was betraying her own country. And then and they hid the spies, right? But we got to think of the grace that we have received and make our faith not swayed and shaken in any given situation on the great foundation of the truth. The works that we have done will help us to pile up even greater works, right? Depending on that works, we got to go on and move forward. We should not make our works in a collapse. No matter what people say, what, we got to remember the grace that we received from Father God and the Lord and by the Holy Spirit and through the messages delivered by our senior pastor. Then all those in the grace will turn into blessing. We don't need to listen to all those in the wrong rumors and lose our grace. It will make our in the Christian life, you know, miserable, right? And we will be lazy in our prayer. And it will, you know, it will not help us listen and focus on the words that we listen. If you are seeking for the grace of God and the holiness, then we just hold on to the grace that we have received so far. Brothers and sisters, Apostle Paul also had the heart of truth, that is, the passion. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23 says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who were under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it." It reveals his heart for souls. Gentleness and reasonableness are well melted in his heart. And this confession reveals them. To have this gentleness and reasonableness, you should not have any selfish mind. Instead, your heart should be full of the truth. You should not look for your benefit. You should not insist on your favor, pride, or idea. Then you can have this gentleness and reasonableness. If you have self in you, when things are not done according to yourself, then you may complain, you may feel sorry, you may have, you may have ill feelings against anything. And you may be interfered by the enemy, devil, and Satan because of the self in your heart. So you got to be careful about it. But what about reasonableness? Reasonableness has three characteristics. First, it can make not only your heart but others' hearts at peace. It makes them not shaken. Well, so you can have this kind of reasonableness when you don't have any selfish mind. Okay? And, wisdom. And the characteristics of the reasonableness is self-satisfactory. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 says, "I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." In his ministry, when he faced any kind of persecutions or difficulties, he didn't complain. He didn't feel sorry for his situation. He didn't lose heart. He was not disheartened. He was always in peace. Why? Because the grace of Father God and the Lord who saved him was too great. The characteristic of the heart of reasonableness is to help you obey the word of God and help you do more than what is required of you. The church in Corinth was established in the city of idols. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Apostle Paul was helping his congregation to discern about the sacrifice given to idols and how to discern it. And he was making, any brothers in faith not to stumble by helping them not to commit sin in the Lord. And he was also confessing, you can eat any food that Father God gives you. But if you know it is the food given to idols, but if you intentionally eat it, it may affect you.
나는 괜찮아 하고 먹는다면은 그 형제 양심에도 바로 무뎌지게 할 뿐만 아니라 또 그 양심 그 선한 마음을
So in any situation in a given situation how to you know comfort other brothers you know, who may think they are committing sin or they are not committing sin I mean Apostle Paul was saying that in the he is not taking anything even though it is not against the law he would not have any intention to take it so that you know his brothers would not take he was not committing sin it was all resulted from the heart resulted from the heart that is filled with goodness and we can find his heart in the book tears he said Many days passed as if a moment, and the time has come to meet the Lord. I look back on myself as to what extent I delivered my beloved Lord and the Father while I was living. So I have no regrets. The duty the Lord gave me to do, I cherished it so much and I considered it as my life. I'm going this way of happiness, but my concern for the souls does not cease. But I entrust them to the Lord, and I receive the calling of the Lord and take this last step with joy. Even before the death, he was recalling his ministry. And he was confessing that his ministry was so full of happiness. And he was worrying about the souls who are left behind. It's like we listen to the confession of our senior pastor. But what if Apostle Paul has said, I've done so many works for the church. I've done so many jobs. I didn't eat well. I didn't sleep well. But why is it happening to me? I just worked for the glory of Father God. But why is it happening to me? Why should I be headed? If he had worried about like this, then what would people in later times say about him? Apostle Paul had no such heart. His heart was so full of thanks and joy. And it made him shine. Because he had a heart, as he said in Romans 8:18, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. As we live our Christian lives, when we receive grace, we just act according to the grace that we receive. However, when we face a situation, we may lose our grace. In that time, think of a buoy that doesn't move. If you have grace set like a buoy, then you will just go on. No matter what happens around you, it has nothing to do with you. You met the Lord, you met God, you received the Holy Spirit. You're living as a Christian. So what matters to you? What bothers you? If you believe in Father God, well, then you are saved. Even in Gentile country, if he meets God, then he can be saved. But as I told you earlier, we received special grace. What is it? God, who was before the beginning. And what kind of heart he had. And he created heavens and earth, and created man and this earth, and what he wants from us. What kind of life we should live, he wants. We know that. So we have goal. Not only heaven, but the most beautiful dwelling place, New Jerusalem, is our goal after knowing this truth. So, all we gotta do is just go on. march on toward New Jerusalem. We don't need to listen to all those rumors and be swayed. All we gotta do is just keep the Lord's Day holy and give full tithe and worship God in spirit and truth. That's it. The preachers do not tell you to commit sin, do not tell you to do evil. Even though they may not be perfect, by the grace of God, they are telling you the truth. They are helping you to lead the life in the truth. They are helping you to understand what you have not understood yet. They remind you what you understood before. All you got to do is just worship God in spirit and truth. Why should you be captivated by the idle thoughts? All you got to do is just go on toward New Jerusalem. Father God gave vision to senior pastor, and we heard it, and we believe it, and just go. And our senior pastor will do whatever he needs to do. And all we got to do is just we do what we need to do. We just go on. We just do before Father God. We give what we are supposed to give. Then we just live our Christian life. But why do we have to be shaken? Of course, you are not shaken. So that's why you are here. There's no reason for us to be shaken. What are we short of? We are not. We have overflowing grace. We may not properly act it yet, but we have overflowing grace. Someone said to me, Pastor, you're like a communism leader. You just say, just only yes and amen. And he said, you're like, you know, between like a brainstorming. Brain poisoning. But I said, I want to be, you know, my brain should be poisoned by the words of truth, words of gospel, words of holiness. Some call you Christians. Are you upset? It's a good words, right? You're crazy about Jesus Christ. Are you mad? Of course we are mad at Jesus Christ. We are mad for Jesus Christ. Let me conclude this message. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. We all have grace that we have received in our Christian life. In fact, countless grace that we receive from senior pastor and in this church. And they are all engraved well in our hearts. And we will not be shaken thanks to that grace. We will remember the grace and we will continue to work for the Lord. In order not to be shaken, first, I told you about the seed of life. Second, I told you Apostle Paul, who remembered the grace that he received from the Lord, and he was not shaken as he was doing his ministry. I told you about the seed of life, and I told you about the identity and view of value and your pride and confidence. The grace of Jesus Christ has become our seed of life in our heart. And I made an example through Apostle Paul. And third, I told you about the heart of gentleness and reasonableness. As we learned about Apostle Paul's passion and braveness. we learn that New Jerusalem has 12 foundation stones, 12 foundation stones, and they are all shine in harmony. We all know that they all have different colors, but they are all shine in harmony. So New Jerusalem is the place of light, place of happiness. We should help each other to fill up our shortages in order to make this church more beautiful. We have good points, but we should not judge and condemn others with these good points. We always should think that we will fill other shortages with our good points. This we can be praised by our Father God for. It is up to us whether we can be praised by Father God or not. As we are full of the Holy Spirit, we are faithful. When we are not full of grace, then we may not be faithful. So we take this roller coaster, right? As we take this roller coaster, we are going up. Even though we are taking roller coaster, we are going up. Ups and downs and ups and downs. But there are people who are just staying where they are. But there are also people, ups and downs, but they're actually falling. So even though you are taking the roller coaster, you should go up. In given situation, the Father God gives us, makes us go up, not going down. So think of the grace. And Father God will give us spiritual understanding and make us win. That's the taste of this spiritual Christian life. So we got potential. So remember this potential and help each other with the grace of the Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.